Only at True North stores. New True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House with a home theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and the host of the Jill on Money podcast. This is the show where your money is not scary. It's a show that's all about you. It's your questions that make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money and, more importantly, on your life. Listen and follow Jill on Money on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Jeffrey Wright and Company. My name is Jeffrey Wright. You can follow me on Twitter on X at JWright929ESPN. As always, you can listen on the radio, dial 92.9 FM, 680 AM. But we're streaming on multiple platforms. You can listen to us on the Odyssey app. You can listen to us on the iHeartRadio app. You can even listen to us on the TuneIn Radio app. So wherever you're trying to find your online streaming content, we are pretty much there. George Ruggiero is the producer of the program. You can follow him on Twitter on X at KingGeorge94. George, good day, sir.
Good day, Jeffrey. As it is a Wednesday, we do have some music bingo going on tonight, but at a different location than where I am normally at, not at Hampline tonight. Come on down to South Haven, play some music bingo with yours truly at Dan McGinnis in South Haven.
Dan McGinnis in South Haven tonight. My company, as he is each and every Wednesday on the program. He is the host of Writer Than Right Trivia. You can hear that tomorrow on the Jeff Calkins Show, 10:30 a.m., playing for your chance to go see the PGA Tour's best at the very first event of the FedEx Cup playoffs. It is the FedEx St. Jude Invitational, where, I remind you, kids under 15 get in free with the purchase of an adult ticket. The host of All Fun and Games here in Memphis, the website CerritoEntertainment.com, on Twitter on X at Cerrito. Kevin, good day, sir.
Greetings and salutations. Hey, George, yeah, the king and King George's, he's the king of DeSoto County, right?
Like, absolutely.
That is a per one Anthony saying. Always calls me the king of South Haven king, when he sees me.
The king of South Haven. That's the... Oh my
KOS.
Goodness. Yes. What? Yeah, KOS. You'll get that tattoo.
Mm-hmm.
Built to a big wrestling match between you and Hunter Havoc, the KOM. So, we got too much news happening, Jeffrey, for July. We got too much news
been
happening.
Been quite the week for normally what is considered the slowest part of the calendar, especially for sports talk. We've had some things happen. So, we will start with some buy, sell, short, or go to Reddit. We will, of course, discuss some of those things that indeed have been happening. We also will get into the TV timeout later this weekend. I have great news for everyone. Gentlemen, thanks be to the commissioner. It's back to football weekend, back together weekend, so we can celebrate that as they will be shoving NFL content down our throat all weekend. We'll get into the list also during hour number two. Again, it is back together weekend, but more importantly, training camps are opening. And it took all of one play for the New York Football Giants in 11-on-11 to throw their first pick six of training camp. So that was great to see that. Get into a few other things. Also, CJ Hurt going to join the program like he does each and every Wednesday with us at 3:30. We'll tell your story, and then we'll get out of here. So let's not delay anymore. Let's do some buy, sell, short, or go to Reddit. All right, Kevin, just like Jeff, I'm handing it over to you. You wrote the questions, so I'll let you be the prompter.
Oh, all right, here we go. Buy or sell time, Jeffrey. Do you buy By yourself. So if you could snap your fingers and make one of the deals happen, it would be for the Grizzlies deal and not the Tigers deal to move to the Big 12. So we're waiting on the big stories this week. The looming stories are all about.
Is the premise on this, it's a Sophie's choice, but either happens. Like, is the premise, I snap my fingers and I get the Grizzlies, but the alternative would be I could have snapped my fingers and had the Big 12. Is that what it is?
Yeah, you could do either one, but it's not going to negate the other one from happening. Yeah. We could just get one out of the way. We're done talking about it. We're done worrying about it.
Yep. Sorry, and Tiger fans. I'm buying this.
It's a new day. So you're buying.
Yes.
Taking the Grizzlies deal, finalizing the lease, can keep in the Grizzlies here for another three decades. Is that kind of what we're looking at?
Yes. The premise being signs a long-term lease that is also not a PR long-term lease that really has outs in 5 years. They sign a new ironclad 30-year lease. Yes, I'm locking that in. I believe that this is true. I think psychologically, if the Grizzlies left, it would be the most devastating move that you could actually have as a city. I think it'd be more devastating than even FedEx leaving, which is not happening. But you see what I'm saying?
Right. Well, yeah. I mean, if FedEx left, it would result eventually on the Grizzlies leaving, probably.
Correct. But from a psychological perspective of the city, I think this would be the most devastating.
And FedEx is, you know, and obviously there's no chance of FedEx leaving, but FedEx logistically, it's would be a massive deal for them to leave, more so than any other company to leave any other city when you think about it.
Single biggest employer. It would be.
Well, I'm just saying, like the airport situation, they're going to have to get a whole new setup. Yeah.
It would be worse for the city. I agree with that. Mm-hmm. But I'm saying psychologically,
let's look at the two sports situations are so worrisome for people when you look at it, because I mean, you've got on one hand, you've got the Big 12 push, which I have never really understood. Let's go for the Pac-12. They wanted you, but the Tigers have always been focused on trying to do what has been impossible for them to do for decades and decades and decades, and that is to find themselves onto the right side of the power leagues, right? Like the Tigers have never, ever, 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 ever been considered a team worthy of being in the power leagues, right? So that is something that has never been accomplished. But I guess, is it because, Jeffrey, we just have had change of guards from the administration standpoint, from the athletic department standpoint, and that new people come in here and think they can do something that nobody else has been able to do? And so they try it again. It's like, we've tried this over and over. Why are we keep trying the same thing?
See,
we need to get creative and do something different. And we just had that offer from the Pac-12 last fall.
The only answer to your question that makes any sense to me is that the most important money people, for whatever reason, just want to be in the Big 12. I don't know if it's like, hey, they want to see Kansas basketball every year. I don't know if it's – there's something – because at this point, like this is what I was telling Munz this. SMU, who has been in the conference with these people.
Right.
When they had the chance to move, they did not pursue the Big 12. They went to the ACC, they made their pitch, and they got in.
That should have been the move.
I do not understand the fascination with the Big 12.
I cannot figure it out, because they're the old, we've seen Cincinnati do it, but Cincinnati was at one point on the other side, right? So you can't count Cincinnati. Who jumped with Cincinnati recently? Of course, we had our
UCF and Houston.
Yeah, and Houston.
And BYU came in, but
BYU's BYU.
They were independent.
A different type of brand. So it does not happen very often. It happened with SMU, but going to a different conference than this one. But that aside, to go back to your point, what is best for sports in this city and what is best for the city in general, right? I think both would be massive. It would be a massive loss, right? Like, so the city, for those who don't know, for those who have grown up with the internet since you were born, like, this city didn't used to have professional sports.
No.
And when I was growing up,
I was, as Jeff and I were ticking them off today, I was trying to think of how many horrible football leagues I've been to. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
In person. So definitely did the Hound Dogs, the CFL in America.
Oh, that's the Mad Dogs. Because the Hound Dogs was...
I'm sorry, yeah.
The Hound Dogs was going to be Mad the Dogs. NFL team if we got it.
Mad Dogs. Definitely went to a Pharaohs game.
I don't think I ever went for that. And that is so exciting football. That's at least something different. Like, you're playing with a much smaller field.
And at that point, arena football was kind of having a moment. Like, you know,
it was like an extreme sport type of gimmick going on.
But it also, like, remember it would come
climate
on, like,
controlled?
It would come on ESPN2, and you're like, this is kind of cool. Because, like, this is also, they threw it every down. In the NFL, it was just run, third down, throw. Yeah. Like, so it was something different. Maniacs. Check.
Yes, of course. Yeah, the XFL, the original XFL.
I went to one. What was it? The Express. What was the AAF? Was that the Express?
So that was Johnny Manziel's team?
Correct. Well, it should have been Johnny Manziel's team, and we wound up playing that kid that Mike Singletary didn't even know his name. It was like Brandon Silver, or like.
And I think the Express happening so close to the Showboats didn't help matters, but we'll talk about the Showboats later in the minor league issue. But we didn't have, like, there was an attempt, and every attempt you can look back at and look at how it was just mishandled from a, we do not have the right perspective on what's going on, right? Like the NFL campaign that finally came to an end when Nashville got the Titans to relocate. Like, but the reason we were passed over for Charlotte and Jacksonville is because we couldn't do what we needed to get done. Actually,
we were making
excuses for things that we could have fixed at the time.
They were building brand new stadiums, and we put those suites on top of the Liberty Bowl.
And I do not want that. And this just smells what's going on with the Grizzlies. Like, these current city leaders, are we not, or have, and I mean city leaders. I'm talking, we've got Paul Young, who's a young guy. That is the new mayor, and I got faith in him. I got confidence in him. This is a big moment for him, right? This is a big moment for the mayor, and
relatively inexperienced too.
Correct. Yeah,
like finding his footing on the job.
Right. I mean, like if Jim Strickland was still in office, at least he can make a call. If the AC Wharton, like they at least have like more phone numbers of people of importance in the city on the quickly that they could call or text. And, I mean, the Grizzlies came here because of, say what you want about Harrington, but, like, his legacy.
Hey, baby, that arena is not, that arena, he was right. Like, that's, I there's a lot that I don't think Willie was right about, but he was right about the forum should be.
And he got the Grizzlies here. So, but we fought so long to get a professional sports team. Finally.
And Fred did.
Finally got it. The other thing that we were fighting simultaneously, like right after, kind of, or right around the same time, actually, if you think about it, that the Grizzlies got here is when the fight to try to follow Louisville and Cincinnati and everybody to the power conferences, right? That's kind of all started around the same time, 2001, when those guys started, everybody started jumping out, right? So around the same time, a little after, whatever, that shakeup was going on.
The early part of the first decade of the 2000s, that's when, like, Louisville builds Papa John's Stadium. Cincinnati begins upgrading Nippert Stadium. I mean, that's a little bit later, but UCF builds the stadium. Like, it's all that's in the first decade of the 2000s.
And so the city's focus was, we got that pro team. Now let's get let's have the Tigers. Let's try to enhance the Tigers. So we've been trying to do that for quite some time, but I don't want that pursuit to have us disregard the true actual thing that this city has that is very hard to get. And can be hard to hold on to, which is your professional sports team. So I am wondering, I don't know what's going on because we don't know what the Grizzlies want. Is there been any new speculation, Jeffrey? I'm listening around the clock to this station.
I'm reading
all the articles.
Here's what they want, but you tell me what this means. They want the neighborhood to be nicer.
Well, then let's figure out a way to do that. Like, I'm saying let's, right? By that, I mean, I know we've got $200 million. Is it 200? Was that the number for trying to get to the Big 12? That's $250 million in sponsorship, something or other.
I'm comfortable with $200 million over 5 years.
What does AutoZone and FedEx, FedEx just did some of that Gibson guitar building, right?
Yes. And I think their logistics, I think, is in
something
there.
Something is in there.
I think logistics is there.
Well, what is this? Who's our guy at FedEx now? We know is it Richard Smith? Who's the one who's allocating that money? And what's Pitt? We know Pitt Hyde knows the importance of this NBA team.
He's a minority owner.
Yeah, he still owns a part of the team. So do we just cut our losses on this jumping thing? I'm just wondering. I don't have $200 million, but and we have very few people. There's Jeffrey, there's three Fortune 500 countries in this town. One of them, International Paper, will probably move at some point and be truly an international company. I'm just saying possibly. We've got International Paper families and stuff. I don't know what's the latest on that, but that's the only one that has a chance to move, right? AutoZone, FedEx, they're here for the long haul, and they love this community, and they're investing in this community.
Well, AutoZone's also that weird thing where it's like, it's a retail front. You know what I mean? Like, its locations are, but yes, I don't think AutoZone's moving their offices, but it's not
like. It's a Fortune 500 base here, Pitt High. They have connections here and their corporate offices on the river. But so those are two of the three involved in this whole, we've got all this money for the Tigers and for the Tigers. Let's not, I just do not want our civic leaders to lose sight of the fact that just because, you know, the Grizzlies is what we need to take care of. And I think taking care of the Grizzlies actually will take care of more than that. Because you're saying they want downtown to be more of a destination, a safe destination.
Safe destination, better neighborhood.
If we don't fix that, if the Tigers get into the Big 12 and are playing Kansas downtown, there's still going to be hesitation about that. We need to fix that to even fix the Tiger games, right? Like the downtown,
right?
Enhancing downtown will help everybody. And I don't know what to say. Hey, FedEx. Hey, AutoZone. AutoZone's got their headquarters down there. Is what can we do? What can y'all do to sweeten this deal? And maybe these conversations are going on behind the scenes with AutoZone and with FedEx.
Yeah.
Like, hey, y'all really want to help the city. Let's solidify the Grizzlies being here. Well, I'm just curious.
Okay,
like,
okay, so there's a couple of complicating things.
I don't know what they could do.
Well, I'm going to make you this pledge.
All right.
I'm going to start playing the lottery religiously.
Okay.
And I'm only going to keep a small portion.
Oh, if you win.
Correct. For myself.
So you have not been playing.
I'm going to keep enough.
I'm surprised you have not been playing.
I know. I'm not that kind of gambler. You know what I mean? Like,
legalized gambling on sports is different.
I'm not, but I am going to start playing religiously. I'm going to keep enough money that my wife will never gripe and bitch to me about money again.
Okay.
So that's what I'm keeping. And then the rest, I'm going to honestly probably go to Southland and try to double it quickly. And then.
That's the Fred Smith story.
Correct.
Right?
Then I'm going to give the rest to whatever we think will actually help. So that's step one for me. So I'd like to know if everybody else is doing their part. Number two, this is where it gets really complicated. So I think there's this belief, particularly amongst Tiger fans, that this $200 million is like that somehow Memphis is like riding around with a Brinks truck full of $200 million.
Right.
That is not the case. What was the case was if the Tigers were accepted into the Big 12, those companies were going to invest in the marketing angle.
Right.
$250 million a year for 5 years, or whatever, $40 million a year for 5 years. That was the 200. This isn't a case of, well, now they're just taking this Brinks truck and they're going to go to the Pac-12 and the Big East and say, like, well, we'll split it up. However, like, it's this money only existed if the Tigers got in the Big 12. Now, I'm not saying they have $0, because what I also think.
Well, yeah, but I'm saying some of that money, Jeffrey, just hypothetically, I'm throwing this out here. Well, I don't have it, but like, we know Lowe's is interested, is a Memphis graduate, has got connections to the city. Could they care about the Grizzlies as well? Could they care about the Grizzlies as well? Could we have, and they name all of these little plazas and villages. Like,
sure.
Should we have Lowe's Village downtown next to Beale Street? Could Lowe's Village be a thing and you have like, they take that empty parking lot over there by FedEx Forum, and we make something out of that. And is that what the Grizzlies want? We don't know what the Grizzlies want. You know, they want downtown to be nicer. Do they want control of Beale Street?
Here's what I think. I don't think they want control of Beale Street, but I think they want to snap their fingers and say Beale Street should look like this. And what they have in mind is, George and I have been talking about it, I feel like, for months now. Heck, maybe even back to last summer. When you go to a lot of these other cities and these stadium developments where you see all this mixed use space where it's heavily gentrified, like they take and it's like,
well, let's be honest. Look,
they keep like the facades, but they gut everything else inside. But the problem is,
well, I mean, but honestly, look, what the hell have we been doing to downtown Memphis? Well, I love downtown Memphis. I feel like it safe. It's down there. We have events there every night. We're down there at Ghost River. I do know there's a perception of downtown Memphis.
All three of us are there on Sunday.
Right.
With my 2-year-old daughter.
With the kids playing outside. But correct. It was awesome. But the...
It was hot, but it was awesome.
Oh, gosh. So, you know, you can't... What, if the Grizzlies ask us to change the humidity, yeah. I don't know if we're going to be in trouble here. They're going there. To Seattle. But the...
It rains there.
It does rain there. But, like, seriously, Jeffrey, if I could point out a negative about downtown, it's like, what have we done since the Grizzlies opened FedEx Forum in 2005 to this area surrounding FedEx Forum? I agree with them. Like, the Westin was built when FedEx Forum was built. Another place where we do play bingo, go check out that tomorrow night. We're going to have a staycation at the Westin away. But, like, outside of the Westin, like, they still got empty parking lots and stuff. Like, that whole little area, and we built some more hotels down there.
So we built the Hampton Inn and Suites. I feel like that came with Jillian's. Was that like 05?
That Hampton Inn.
Yeah.
That Hampton Inn, it was around the same time.
All
yeah.
right. So then
that
we.
That was around Peabody Place than
exactly.
it was. Yeah.
So we have like, what is it? Hotel Napoleon.
There's more hotels.
Centric.
There's none
didn't
right there.
We
build
a courtyard.
Though.
I think we built a courtyard.
The Home 2 Suites just opened downtown.
Yeah.
Like just a few blocks
so
from Festival.
We built
some hotels, but I'm saying.
And we've rebranded a couple.
The immediate vicinity around Federal Express Forum is. Empty parking lots.
Or just vacant lots.
Vacant lots. Yeah, vacant lots that get turned into parking lots on game days.
And now a burned down church that was like one of the like most beautiful buildings we had in the city.
Right, yeah, that is true. We do have the Plaza. That was an upgrade. But there's a bunch of vacant lots, and that's how you get those quotes from Phil Jackson or whatever. So do the Grizzlies, I believe the Grizzlies have a legitimate concern. Not necessarily concerned, but like issue. Like, hey, let's fix this area up. Because, I mean, seriously, since 2005, the immediate area, the only thing that's been built there is the Westin and the Gibson Guitar. Gibson left, so at least that building didn't become vacant. We did have some leaders jump in there.
That also was not our fault. That is Gibson's fault. I want to be very clear. There's some stuff we need to know when to put our hand up.
Sure, yeah.
What is, as a guitar player... What Gibson did to their brand should like be studied. You went from literally being an industry leader. You were Mercedes.
Yeah.
Everyone, you were, if you played a Gibson, you were somebody. Like it gave immediate credibility. And they have just completely trashed their brand. Continue.
But,
okay, but so I think this is, and I know.
I'm throwing that out there. I don't know what AutoZone, FedEx has already shown they can do something by opening their logistics in that empty Gibson
building. They bought
the building.
Right?
What FedEx, AutoZone, these big money leaders, do they care more about the university or the city as a whole? Because we always say the university has been tied to the city in such a way. They're so tied together, right? Like the university plays in the...
Literally the city's in the name.
Right. Well, yeah. But sure, with other cities, I'm sure we could go through the list, but there's not as many as you would think. But the Grizzlies leaving would be the biggest issue. And that's something we fought so hard to do for so long, finally got it, and we got to make sure... That, you know, sometimes you achieve something and then it's like, yeah, and then you moved on to the next thing. Like, we're moving on to the next thing.
Okay, so there's a couple of things here. So, this is something that I don't know if you can solve. Let's set aside the actual problems. Like, the crime and the reasons that get...
Stuff that needs to be solved that you cannot necessarily solve just with money.
Let's put that aside for a second.
Yes.
You and I are from here. The only time downtown is really a destination is like that specific window in time of like right when you graduate college and everybody comes back. It's like your early to mid 20s, but like it's not this like it's never been that. It's never been like this is where we go. We're going downtown.
Like, right. You're right. You could go downtown when you're young, but that's when you're going out days. You would go downtown.
Okay, but now let's discuss the other aspect of
it. The city's been working on like improving the riverfront, improving some stuff has improved down there, but we've talked about like how
new Tomley Park. Now, it's also annoying that we had another fight in which we don't have Barbecue Fest on the river, but like whatever.
So that's the question for the Grizzlies. The Grizzlies. Delay, like, how much is it related to crime, and I don't think it is because every NBA city has crime issues, right? So, but how much is it? Because that's the hard one to fix. It's been
the challenging one to fix
is the perception of that. But I don't think that's impacting the Tigers. Nobody's saying like, oh, well, because the Tigers trying to get it. The Tigers play in the same building as the Grizzlies. So I do think enhancing whatever it is around the FedEx Forum would enhance the Tigers and their chances to do something
else.
I think
this is also true. In my lifetime, the period in the 2010s, so let's basically say the peak of the core four.
Yep.
I do think that is the, in my lifetime, so 1988 on, that is the best downtown has been. No, that was where the most was going on.
I think without question, yeah. You had playoff games happening at FedEx Forum that bled over to the Barbecue Fest. You know, you
100%.
Where watch parties and stuff were happening. It was the momentum of the city has definitely shifted since the pandemic, right?
Correct.
And we've got to still figure out a way to get a lot more of it on track. And the question is that getting back on track, getting the Tigers into a bigger conference that could get split up very soon? I just don't think that's the best use of funds.
Okay,
it's not my money. I didn't make that money.
I understand.
I'm not saying it's the same money, but like when I read from like John Martin's article of that the Tigers should just use that money and try to get into the Big East with that money. It's like, no, wait a minute. We got other problems. Like, we couldn't get this. Why would we use that much money to just completely try to screw something else up again? That's not going to be like that. That's giving up going to the Big East is giving up, in my opinion. But anyway, yeah, let's figure out a way to, all I'm trying to say is we need our leaders to get together and say, we've got to do whatever it takes to make sure that the Grizzlies are happy. And let's just get this thing done today. I would snap my fingers. Anyway, I'm snapping my fingers. The Grizzlies deal is what I would want to get done. That's the most important one for the city, is for the Grizzlies to be in Memphis. It doesn't really matter if the Tigers are in the newly rebranded American or the Big 12. From a long term, it would definitely help, and for attendance wise, it would help.
So to me, there's a
but few... can they even compete if they don't have a budget? Like, I'm going to get blown out in these games, and nobody's going to want to go to those because they're going to spend all their money to get in the conference.
I mean, most of the teams that have moved up have...
they suck in these conferences.
They're getting smoked. The one exception being Houston basketball is still really good.
SMU did all right.
Yeah, I mean, the ACC...
But do we have Texas Oil money here?
But I mean, that's a very different thing. Like, SMU basically said, we have 11 billionaires on our board. Like, we're going to just make sure we're good. Like, they just decided, like, if we get into this conference, like, they were going to spend... Now, I do think if Memphis were to get in the Big 12, I think there would be more money. But
after a few years.
But I mean,
but what's going to happen to the Big 12? You're the one who has me. Like, Jeffrey, I listen every day, and you've got me. It's whether it's this show or it's Calkins in the morning. Like, you have assured me that that this is not going to be the conference setup that we're going to have in 5 years.
Well, and I do think that's part of why they got the answer that
that's why you take the Pac-12 deal. That's why you go with the Pac-12. I think you figure out a way to work out. Now, yes, there's issues with the money, but like, we don't know what it's going to be. Get with the Pac-12 and have the best conference outside of the power group, and when things are going down, maybe something can go down.
I just think it's so like, here's the deal, like, if you decided to, because I advocated for this in real time. There needed to be a merger of the last realignment. The Mountain West and the American needed to figure it out. They had to have they needed to have an East and a West. You could have kept it, but you had to.
Well, like, who do you want besides Memphis and Tulane?
No. This was before.
Yeah, before that.
This is even
before
like,
the
correct
the real
right, but.
Defects.
No one wants to do that because it's almost like you're accepting your fate, and that everybody wants to still have aspirations of we can move up. Now, the other things though that actually are difficult to me, and this is where I believe Ed Scott and Bill Hargrave, like the Grizzlies could have taken a page out of their playbook on this one.
That's fair.
I have never seen anyone be able to... I mean, guys, they got... We didn't even know until this week. A few of you out there did. Congratulations.
Well, there was an article out there. I do remember seeing something that he was...
Okay, but most of us did not know that the president of Lowe's was an alum.
Shop at Lowe's? You're supporting your Tigers.
They were able to put together...
I mean,
it is
the blue one at Home Depot's orange. I mean, what are you expecting out of
That's a fair point.
Who's our sponsor? We love our sponsors here at 99.
Neither one. But if Home Depot wants to sponsor, all of a sudden, I'm go big orange, baby. Like, I'm just saying. I am for sale.
It is the state school.
Yeah, I am for sale.
Yeah. I mean, 100%. And we do have UT Science Center right here. I love those.
That's right. Of course, the medical building.
Yeah, they're on the medical.
Beautiful architecture down there. But so it's one thing to put together a sports marketing deal.
Yeah.
But it's not like.
I know what you're saying.
It's not like FedEx has this money dog ear and said, okay, let's go. Let's go renovate.
They have a marketing budget,
right.
And they're saying, and this is smart. I mean, it is smart, and it's why, I guess they were too late with the idea of why the Tigers didn't get in back in early 2000s, right? But it was like, they didn't have the, RC wasn't, RC was letting Cal do whatever he wanted back then. That's all what was happening. But there wasn't.
I also think so Jeff and I have talked about this. So everyone wants to point to.
But do we need
to? Okay. Like, when everyone armchairs quarterbacks, everyone wants to point to Memphis missed the boat by not investing in football soon enough. That's true. But that also, I'm not sure you could have pulled that off. The biggest money people at that time, they did not care about football. They cared about basketball. They invested in basketball. That's what they wanted. And they didn't have the gift of hindsight knowing that this is all going to be driven by football forever and ever and ever. Like, they thought college basketball is what they cared about. They thought it's what mattered. Like, I don't think they could have actually pivoted to that. Now, here's what I do think is a legitimate, because this isn't revisionist history. Yeah. I asked the question in real time.
All right.
We were told the whole point of this fight 2 summers ago when we got the money for both the stadiums. This was designed to get Memphis into the Big 12, into a power league. I said then that wasn't going to do it, and here we are. Should we have, because, and now, I know it's pointed out, it's earmarked the way that the money was given from the state for the school and for the forum.
Right.
I understand that's how it was written. It could have just been written, here's the money for the arena. It's the state's only NBA team.
Correct.
Could have been written in for that. Are you telling me that $150 million wouldn't have helped? Because it could have done one of two things in my mind. You could have perhaps maybe used some of that money to renovate whatever you want downtown. All the questions and complaints you have. Or more importantly, it might have given you the amount of money needed to where the Grizzlies would have just signed the extension and the lease because you could have actually done the renovation they wanted to do. Now we're staring at two renovations that will largely not be aspirational, like what either envisioned at the time that they got the money.
So do you, and that just goes, I'm thinking, right? That we've got FedEx Forum. It is a place where everybody from all over the city, the county, the tri-state area, we come and we gather there. And upgrading it is not a bad thing for anybody. Not that it needs super, what's fantastic is that it has held up so well. And there hasn't been that many
changes. The problem,
changes,
though, is...
But the question...
The problem is, like, what they actually want to fix, they don't have the money to do it. What they want to fix is they want to flip the amount of seats. There's more seats up top than there are down below. And now, when it was built in an era where everyone was copying what the Pistons did with the Palace at Auburn Hills, which was they started flooding the thing with suites. And they sold all the corporate suites, and they were just doing backstrokes in cash.
Right,
well, then what happened was, so the forum, that's why they have those courtside suites that are like 20 rows up. That was what everyone was trying to sell. Well, now people then started doing the money like, wait a minute. I can go and buy 8 seats in the best sections for less than for a third of what I'm doing here. I'm just going to go do that. And so then that no longer became a formula. And so now you're left with all this space that's been occupying with suites that are largely unsold.
Well, I don't know what the price is to do that, but again, like we said, I understand this is a $200 million.
The truth is, the price is so steep now with construction costs. You basically would just build a new arena.
It would cost $1 billion,
close to it,
because you're
basically converting. Like, you're changing the entire structure of the building.
Yeah. All right. Well, I mean, that's...
Like, for instance, when people want to say, like, this is why Oklahoma City, because Oklahoma City...
They're building a new one.
It was built a little bit before the Grizzlies.
Yeah, it's a little older.
But it's built about the same time, and this is why they're like, screw it. Like, just build them a new one. And I get it. We don't have that luxury.
We do not. No, we do not. But would we
have had that luxury if we didn't have to try and renovate a football stadium?
Right. Like, what is the... And I'm going to... I hope I'm wrong on that, you know, but I'm interested in what... We haven't... Have we had any more concert announcements happen yet? But the...
I'm still waiting on Motocross.
The football stadium's going to look nice. It's going to be the best...
Kevin and I will make you a promise. If they actually do put a monster truck show in the Liberty Bowl, we will go.
I will go.
And obviously, if they put wrestling in there, we'll go.
Well, yeah, of course. We'll be there before anybody else. But no, I mean, you're bringing up great points, but that's $150 million. You're saying that wouldn't have been enough. And neither would this $200 million marketing budget from local corporate sponsors to get the Grizzlies necessarily what they want.
I'll say this. I think $150 million would get them closer. So, let's say you do it like this. I think when it's all said and done, although Sam Hardiman has pointed out, the numbers have been fuzzy.
Yeah.
But I think when it's all said and done, they have about $580 million. So that would get them to $730 million. And now all of a sudden, okay, maybe Robert Pera kicks in the remaining $70 million. But you're at $800 million. That gets you much closer to being able to do what you need to do.
Robert Pera, I just wonder, like, what he owns this team. Like, does he enjoy it? What is he like? We never see him, you know? It's in a town that he never comes to.
I think he flies in and out more than we think.
Is that what it is?
Yeah. But I think he is a deeply antisocial person.
But so anyway, I want to give credit to University of Memphis leadership for putting together this package. But what we need, and I think in Memphis in general, to tie a bow on this whole thing, and this is maybe it's Paul Young that I'm calling out here right now, and I know he's still new on the job, but it's not just him. Like, what makes cities go and take those next steps and make change, real change happen, is when you have your corporate leaders come together, right? Separately decide what they want to do, but they've got to come together with a plan. And it's not just come together to do one thing. Hey, just not come together and, hey, we're going to come together and we'll do...
Yeah, and also, you know what they need to do? When the only
like
time...
What we just saw from the with this pitch for the university, we need them to come together with a plan for the city.
Yeah,
and also, what is the best use of their money?
Let me throw
for
this
the
one
city?
Out there. Everybody... I get it. I don't care how you voted. You may not like Elon Musk. Knock it off. This guy has brought more money into the city, new money, than anyone we've had in decades. Knock it off. Because every one of your arguments is so disingenuous. You didn't like that you think he swung the election. Shut up.
All right. Well, Elon. Hey, so maybe Elon will buy the Grizzlies and keep them here until he moves them to space.
Maybe someone can slip some ketamine in there and maybe get him to, I don't know, decide to renovate downtown.
Yeah, well, I wonder, but that
we
is interesting.
We should be, like, sucking up to him and getting him to spend more money.
How bad's the, maybe. I mean, it's AI is the future, and how much money is he actually bringing in here is what I'm, like, where's the money?
The second biggest taxpayer.
The second biggest? Who's number one?
FedEx.
All right, well, let's get Elon up to number one. So that's interesting. We do have a new billionaire around. We do have a new one around. We can be rocking. It would be great to be launching some rockets on the Mississippi River.
That would be quite the visual.
All right, let's take a break. When we come back, we'll get into our TV timeout. 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
When New Yorkers buy a place with StreetEasy, they have the local expertise they need to stay in the city. When they buy outside the city, they have regrets.
The only way to fix this place would be to move it back to Brooklyn.
When it's time to buy, let StreetEasy connect you with the agent you need to never leave. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and the host of the Jill on Money podcast. This is the show where your money is not scary. It's a show that's all about you. It's your questions that make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money, and more importantly, on your life. Listen and follow Jill on Money on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, boys, TV timeout. So this has been something we've been talking about for, I feel like, a few months now. I know it was well before the draft because whenever I get asked which broadcast I'm watching, I said I'm watching NFL Network because it was possible that that was going to be the last time those guys were going to do the draft. But now, according to Andrew Marchand, ESPN and the NFL are, quote, inside the five-yard line, end quote, in their ongoing negotiations, which would see the worldwide leader acquire a significant portion of NFL media. While the details of the potential deal were first reported back in January of 2024, no deal has yet to be finalized. Marchand notes that it could see ESPN acquire properties including NFL Network, Red Zone Channel, and the seven regular season NFL games that are currently on the league-owned network. Okay, so
The ones that are on the league-owned network, do they not also simulcast those on, like, Amazon?
No. So I'm unclear.
Are they exclusive to the
network? Correct me if I'm wrong as well. A lot of those are the international.
A lot
games.
Of them are the Germany game. It's
right.
Some of the
Saturday games, I think, when
correct.
They sprinkle those in.
It used to be like.
So nobody wants to. You have to travel to.
So I want to say when they start doing it's like the Saturday. I know the Germany game was on NFL Network. I think
most of those morning games.
One of the London games is on there.
Yeah.
And those were all exclusive.
Exclusive on NFL Network. But what happened was NFL Network, this is kind of the beginning of all of it. They started NFL Network when everybody started doing their own network, Big Ten, SEC. And the idea was, oh, well, we'll just gobble up all the subscription fees. And then people started cutting the cord. And they're like, wait a minute, we can sell each of these games for like $150 million apiece or try to run our own television network. Yeah, we're just going to do that. And so they moved on because that's a more profitable venture. But what I've also noticed is going on, I think we, as sports fans, might have ESPN derangement syndrome.
All right, what's this? How can we diagnose this?
Okay, if your first reaction when you see that Red Zone's going to be on ESPN, your first reaction is, damn it, I'm going to have to watch Stephen A. Smith on Red Zone, you have ESPN derangement syndrome.
Yeah, I think that if that's your reaction, yeah.
I think,
but they made us this way.
Okay, but look at it. Look at the scenarios that they made it this way. They've not largely touched McAfee at all. We've talked about it.
They have not touched McAfee.
Really, the only thing they did with McAfee was when Aaron Rodgers came on and insisted that Jimmy Kimmel was on the Epstein list. They're like, hey, can we not have him on because we're paying him? Like, we don't want to pay someone $1 million to come and say our late night host is a pedophile.
Paying someone money to come on the air and say the most outlandish, wild, crazy thing.
So,
but does he have an update? I need Aaron Rodgers' update on the Epstein list, by the way. So I need to check in with that. All right,
I think he's looking for him like everybody else.
Yeah, all right, good.
Still looking for him.
Head up to Pittsburgh.
But largely been untouched. They're now essentially what they're doing is when they are acquiring these properties.
Right, we're going to find out with Inside the NBA. It's the biggest test of them all.
And I think they're going to go,
what would they do to Red Zone that would mess Red Zone up? So that's your concern. So this deal, you immediately think, well, who cares? I mean, they do NFL games, so they're not going to mess up any broadcast of the NFL games. They do studio shows. And honestly, the ESPN's NFL coverage is probably their best sport.
I don't even think it's close.
Yeah, and well, at one point, baseball was, but...
Yeah, but they just don't have the... They're not resourcing baseball to be what... Yeah, I agree. Yeah. It used to be, yeah.
So, and then... So the concern is Red Zone. That's the NFL's. So if you look at NFL Network, if you could buy one thing, if you had that $200 million, you could buy one thing from the NFL Network, it'd be the rights to Red Zone, and you would want Red Zone. That's the one thing. Or if you could say, you can only watch one thing on NFL Network, it's right, or through the NFL Films division.
I think you could make an argument you also want the rights to the old games.
Sure. Okay.
But the irony to me is NFL Network's actually become now that they've just gutted it because they're selling it, it actually has become what I've always wanted it to be. Like, why am I in July not watching games from either last year or old games? Like, just show me old games. That's all I want to see. You have the rights to the greatest
library.
That's
not how the NFL works. NFL, you got every day. You got to talk about
correct. Now,
the Cowboys or
back
something.
Back together weekend.
But yeah. But so, George, I know you're a big Red Zone fan. What could they do to ruin Red Zone? If the people who have the what's the ESPN syndrome? What is the syndrome? What are we calling it?
ESPN derangement syndrome.
Derangement syndrome.
Yes.
Is there anything you're concerned that they could do to Red Zone? Obviously, if they changed who hosted it, right? Like, that would be a
I think
deal.
That's the biggest thing that a lot of people would be concerned about, or adding to it. I think what they have right now, the formula for Red Zone, is pretty purely distilled. Like, it's almost perfect. Minimal commercials.
There's only pacing. Let's be real. Like, I know everyone freaked out with he can't say 7 hours of commercial-free football anymore. He has to say 7 hours of Red Zone football. Guys, they threw on a Visa ad for 30 seconds at the
mind
beginning.
You, like, also a side by side.
Yeah,
that's
like,
all it is.
And also, like,
so they're still
this
showing,
is
yeah.
this is a man that if he is not if the producers are not quick enough to get off of a game as it's going to commercial, he apologizes that you had to see 6 seconds of a progressive ad. Like he's deeply sorry about
but
that.
But did you get hooked on Red Zone because it was commercial free or because they were showing you everything? I mean, I really think the commercial thing was inevitable.
The commercial thing really never bothered me because I guess it could if it was a 3 minute break, like a 3 minute stop for commercials. But the way that they do it last season and the year before last, where they started just having the split screen, one side is showing a commercial, the other side is still showing Red Zone. That doesn't bother me at all because the biggest thing for me with Red Zone is the pacing.
Yeah.
I enjoy just how quickly
can't really mess with that. I mean, the whole point, the concept is they're showing you the teams in the Red Zone. It's and they're going to go to the quad box and all of that. Like, you're going to be able to
we start off with an octo box.
Right.
Come on.
I don't know how they could screw it up. The most important part of that show is to me the host. It's one of those things like think about, like, how can you replace Bob Barker? How will they ever replace, you know, Scott Hansen? There were two hosts, I know, at some point in
greatest.
It's all about who you hire for that job. Well, Hansen's still under contract. They're still going to have him. You're still going to have your Red Zone.
The hat tip to Hansen is not the originator. The originator is Siciliano, and literally the greatest day of my football watching life is the day that it actually went to YouTube, and that meant my Red Zone was now Hansen. That was awesome.
Right, but who was the original host of Price Right? Somebody before Bob Barker. Who hosted Wheel of Fortune before Pat Sajak? You know, there's certain...
What's the original host of the Tonight Show is like something Allen?
Steve Allen, Jack Parr.
Do I have it backwards? Is it Parr before Allen? I thought it was Allen first.
It might have been. Those were the original guy. They didn't host for very long. So not nearly as long as Colbert. Right. Well, I don't think they can mess up Red Zone. They could have messed up Pat McAfee, and they still can mess up inside the NBA. It's going to take a lot of effort to mess up Red Zone.
But that's the thing. They're not making them ESPN productions.
Right. So we're in a new era of...
Correct. Like, when you turn on McAfee's show, it doesn't look like an ESPN show. It looks like McAfee's show. Like, that's... Because all they're doing is
They're just simulcasting.
Inside the NBA will look like it's coming from Atlanta.
Correct.
So it will have the same crew working on that show for the most part. I'm sure, you know, there's going to be some changeover based because they're probably not working as much, but salary wise and stuff's going to match up. But
I wonder if the graphics are going to be the same.
That is got to change somewhat because the TNT's got to go. So ESPN's graphics.
On McAfee, because they still have McAfee's,
yeah,
run, whatever, the scroll bar at the bottom, but there is...
Oh, the ticker?
Yeah, they have McAfee's ticker.
Yeah.
Is there the ESPN score bug underneath it?
I believe there is, yeah.
Okay, so they're basically just doubling up. I bet that's what it'll look like then.
Yeah, quite possibly. So that deal is official. I saw something about the...
It's at the 5-yard line.
We're in a big moment for ESPN television.
It's in the red zone.
We've got
it's deep red zone. It's goal to go.
But
and it's not. We're not talking at the 10. Because I'd rather have first and 10 from the 11 than first and goal from the 10. I don't know. It's one of those things where.
Someone just has to get the rock and run
it in. I don't
have
the numbers, but I know the scoring doubles in that scenario. Like first and 10, first and goal from the 10, your team has like a 25% chance of scoring a touchdown.
First and 10 from the 11?
100% every time. Like it's going to, they're going to get in there. They're getting it in the end zone.
But if you think about it, red zone being in, so being, it's run by ESPN. Really not. That's the one I don't think they, because even the host change, it's going to be important whenever they do have to do a host change at some point. But at some point when he's done,
but like Hanson just came up with,
but you can't do the Pat McAfee show without Pat McAfee, and you can't do Inside the NBA truly without Sir Charles and the crew. So like they could still have that brand continue after him, like the Late Show continued with Stephen Colbert, but it was not Letterman's show, right? It was in the same studio, and that was about it. So
yeah, with a brand new set, like everything,
but and just a whole new vibe. So the vibe was different, for sure, but. It's interesting. What we're going to see with it, because the ESPN's continuing. I saw Rich Eisen, right?
He is taking over the...
Actually, ESPN Radio,
I think it's
again.
The noon Eastern spot. It's very...
And his show is always, it's more like Pat McAfee, where like, he kind of just talks about what he... It's not the strict ESPN, you're going to talk about the national LeBron, Cowboys, blah. You know, you have like your six teams.
Irony to me is... As we are watching the end of Late Night,
yeah,
Rich Eisen's doing a late night show, but he does it at
midday.
I always see clips. He's always got Larry David or Jerry Seinfeld on that.
Like
he has a desk. Yeah,
there is still a sports segment. Like it is still a quote unquote sports show, but he largely kind of wants it to be a celebrity show. You can tell like what gets him
wants to be. It is. There's a lot of
what gets him going is like bringing the celebs on.
Right, for sure. And now it's going to be on.
But it's like, I don't know. This is, everyone's kind of freaking out because.
And they're not going to mess with what he's doing, right?
Because
it's successful.
Just think everyone's
Why
freaking
mess
out
with something that's successful?
They're sick of Stephen A, which I understand that. I'm not.
It'd be great. Stephen A is going to be on.
Correct.
They need to do 1 week where Stephen A just shows up on all the stuff.
But if you look at what they insert Stephen A on, it's
Stephen A week.
It's their properties. Like, it's not, they're not inserting Stephen A.
He don't want to work that much more either. They just negotiated his contract. So this stuff, like, there's not going to be, you know, an addendum to his contract saying he's going to be on Red Zone, you know? It's not going to happen.
No, and like, but I mean, like, that's the thing. Everybody's got the fear that he's going to be inserted into Inside the NBA. And it's like,
today, what is it? It's almost 3 p.m. on July 23rd. Do you think Stephen A will make, what's the over under Stephen A appearance on Inside the NBA? For next year, is it at one and a half, which is my favorite over under? Do you think we see Stephen A. over under more or less than 1.5 times on Inside the NBA?
Okay, are we counting if he goes and does a drive by, like crashing the set, like
cameo? Want him? He's got to be a guest where he is saying something.
Correct. Like, I'm saying he has got to be. They got to pull the chair up and have him like be a part of the segment.
Right.
Drive by doesn't count.
Right, the drive like Colbert. I don't know if you saw the Colbert clip from Monday, but he had everybody was in the audience.
Yeah,
Colbert. They weren't guests, but
they all have the same agent.
Jimmy Fallon and
they all have the same agent.
Yeah, well, yeah, they were all the talk show hosts were out there, but I'm saying he has to be on there as a guest.
I almost want to set it at 0.5.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and the host of the Jill on Money podcast. This is the show where your money is not scary. It's a show that's all about you. It's your questions that make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money, and more importantly, on your life. Listen and follow Jill on Money on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.